excited to be here. I'm glad she got to come with me. I was here by myself last year, and I thought, I want to bring one of my girls next year. So she lives closest to me, and I called her, and I said, will you come with me next year so we can have a little weekend away? And she said, yes. So I'm thrilled to have her here. Ashley is a mom of five boys, as she just said, which every time I say that, I tell somebody that, it just kind of makes me want to go, because I even though I had six, I only had two boys and four girls, and so sometimes the girls made me do that, but the boys are just loud, and they're busy, and they're run everywhere, and I went to visit her recently, and telling you, the girl has a hard time keeping her house clean, and I don't blame her, you know, because boys are just like that. But I was thrilled that she was able to talk her husband into keeping him for the weekend, so she could come be with me for the weekend. We want to talk to you about the lessons that we've learned now that she's an adult, but I'm still her mom. And how do you figure out that relationship? Because it isn't always pretty, and it isn't always easy, and there aren't very many books about it. And my husband and I have realized that the reason you can't write a book about it is because your kids are all still living witnesses. And so you can't really write what you've learned because they're right there. And it's not an easy transition for most people. Most of us don't quite know what to do. And then you've got the mix of the whole in-law issue that is complicated. That usually isn't easy. I've heard some stories of it being easy, but I think that's the exception rather than the rule. And Ashley has learned a lot in that area of her life, and she's got some great things to say. So we're going to talk about the mother-daughter thing now that she's an adult and we relate to each other as adults rather than just as mother and daughter. We're going to talk about some in-law things too. So that's what we're going to do in this time. And we're going to try to finish early so we have some time for questions too. We'd like to take questions from y'all as well.
Okay, well, I'm the oldest of Mom's six children, and the Lord prepared me for my boys because it's me and then two brothers. So I grew up with my brothers and then three sisters after that, so they came later. But this doesn't always happen, but I was the first one to get married in our home. And so we, like most of the rest of my life, I was the guinea pig, so we moved right along with that and kept learning right on me. And so Mom and I have been hammering this out, and again, I'm the forerunner on that, but that's okay with me. I think when I first got married, I just had a pretty good relationship with my mom, and I just kept right along sharing everything that was going on. And as most of y'all know, marriage is difficult when you first get married, and there's a lot of adjustments and a lot of things you didn't know that you thought you knew, or things that you really felt comfortable in or confident in that then you realize really you don't know what you're doing, and things are really hard. And my husband started medical school right after we first got married, and I was alone a lot, and he was not around very much, and I wasn't expecting to be alone in marriage. I was expecting to have that best friend forever. And so the first, long story, the first 11 years were very lonely years for me in my marriage, so it was a really long road. But the first five, I just kept telling Mom about how hard it was in my marriage and how lonely I felt and how I felt like my husband wasn't helping me with our two children at that time. And I was just really struggling, and I was really searching, and I couldn't understand what the problem was. And my husband was very absent. And at one point, I remember sitting in my house, and by this point, we'd moved to Little Rock, so I was 20 minutes from my parents. And I remember my mom sitting down and saying, I can't hear anymore. You have to stop telling me how hard it is for you, because your husband is not treating my daughter well, and I'm starting to resent him. I don't want to be around him, and I don't enjoy him anymore, and you are hurting our relationship. Well, that was very interesting for me, because I'm like, are you kidding? You're going to heap more hurt on me, and I'm going to have to take more on by myself. But it was very wise.
Well, she felt very much more alone, because I was her friend in that, yeah. And I was the one she could kind of depend on. But it was really, really hard for me to be around him because, this is my baby girl, and he wasn't treating my baby girl well. And so we...
But it was good.
It was really good. There were a lot of good reasons. Med school is not easy regardless. So
that's right.
It was going to be hard no matter what. Mm-hmm. But she didn't anticipate that. I didn't anticipate that. And in her loneliness, she confided in her mom, which she had done all her life. It's a natural thing to do.
Right.
But it became, over time, it began to become detrimental in my relationship with her husband.
Which, as y'all all know, I mean, when things like that are hurt, it's really hard to repair some of that. And so, again, this was hard for me as an adult child to hear my mom say, I can't hear about your life. But it needed to be said, and it was wise, and it was right, and I needed to pull back. And what it caused me to do was to lean into the Lord as well, and more than my mom. And it really allowed me to mature in some ways that I probably wouldn't have otherwise. So there's a lot of wisdom in that. And so anyway, like I said, that continued for the next 6 years after that. And the Lord did some really awesome, amazing things in my marriage. And I think that Mom really enjoys my husband now. And the relationship has been restored in a lot of ways. And it's better. It's a lot better. But that was hurtful to me at that time. And there were other things along the way that Mom did that hurt me or that hurt my feelings. And so probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I had to sit down and write her a letter and say, Mom, you've hurt me in these ways. And I had to become honest with her in a way I had never really done before as the child. As a child, you're used to taking things from your parents. And for me anyway, I pretty much accepted everything as they said it, and I didn't really question a whole lot, and pretty compliant. And so for me, being honest and expressing some of my own hurt toward my mom was very difficult for me to do, and continues to be difficult. I'm still really not good at it. I'm a people pleaser, and that really goes against my nature. But again, just like it was good for her to say to me early in our marriage, no more, it was good for me to say, you know, you kind of hurt my feelings in this, and for her to know and be able to hear and be aware of us. So what's really cool is that through the last, I've been married 15 years now, through that time, we've really gained a friendship, I feel like, more than a mother-daughter relationship. And there's still a little bit of that, and I call her for advice and all that stuff still, but it's a little more mutual than it used to be, which is really kind of sweet and special.
And the thing that makes it so satisfying at this season of life is that I know I'm okay with Ashley. I don't wonder if I've said something, because I know if I've said something to offend her or if I've done something, I know she's going to tell me. I may not like it. When she wrote that letter and read it to me, it was extremely difficult to hear. I mean, I cried like a baby because I thought, I never intended for any of those things to hurt you. But I didn't know that they had hurt her, and I needed to know that they had hurt her so that I could be more aware next time. And so it was a very healthy, very mature thing to do, but it was a very difficult thing for her to do and for me to receive. But now we're in a place where I know we're okay. I don't have any questions about her because I know that if I've done something, she will tell me. And so we have a real healthy adult relationship now, but it didn't happen overnight. It took some time to kind of learn how to negotiate this adult-adult relationship as opposed to adult-child relationship.
And I just want to point also, just a little side, I was going to counseling for about 2 years, and my counselor helped me write this letter to my mom and coached me through that. So if anybody's thinking, I need to write a letter to my mom, I would encourage you not to just go home and write it out and hand it to her. Get some guidance and some counsel and get some wisdom and some outside perspective, because you can also end up hurting your relationship more than helping it if you go about it in the wrong way. So
yeah, it needs to be done very, very carefully, because just as I had a thought, I lost him.
I'm sorry.
After Dana.
What was that thought?
Where are you going? I think I got more sleep than she did, so she could pass it. But anyway, it's just a matter of negotiating. It takes time. It takes a lot of grace, a lot of patience, a lot of long-suffering, and hanging in there through it all. I've got a couple things that I want to share that I've learned as a mother of all adult children now, because all of my kids are grown and out of the house. Five of them are married. The youngest is not, and I'm still learning stuff with her because she's not married. I still want to mother her, and yet she's 28, and she doesn't always want me to mother her. But two things that I've learned. One is, and for those of you who have married children, how many of you have married children? Because some of you are on the mom side, some of you are on Ashley's side. One of the most difficult things for me is that as a mom, my whole journey as a mom, I loved helping my kids. I helped them with homework. I helped them learn to tie their shoes. I helped them learn how to dress. I helped them learn how to say please and thank you. I helped them learn how to do everything, right? That's part of our job, is helping our children mature, helping them grow up, helping them learn how to navigate everything you have to navigate in life. And it's really hard to turn that spigot off. It's really hard to stop helping when they become adults. And even though I knew when my kids got married, and even when our youngest Laura has gone off on her own, and she has been for a number of years, I knew in my head, don't give advice unless they ask. I knew in my head, keep your mouth shut. I knew in my head all of those things. Because I have a relationship with my daughter and my other kids, when they would talk about things, it just was so automatic to go, well, you could do this, and you could do this, and this, and she, you know, and I would see the kid, her kids around or whoever, and you just, it's just so ingrained in you as a mom for that season of your life, 20 years or 30. For me, it was almost 30 years before the last one left home to go to college. And so it's really hard to stop helping. And the reason that what happened is that so often when we've got adult kids, which is a bit of an oxymoron, mm-hmm. but you want to help, and they're trying to establish their own independence, and they're trying to figure out who they are, and they perceive that helping as intruding or manipulating or trying to control. And I never in a million years meant it as controlling or as manipulating or trying to fix it for you and say that you weren't capable. Because as a mom, my heart is to help because I desperately, desperately love my children. And so it creates conflict when you're not even aware you're creating conflict. With one of my daughters, when she had her first baby, I went and helped with her, like I did with Ashley. And we ended up in just this crisis almost, because I was helping as I had done with Ashley, and it was received well.
It was awesome when she helped me. I'm like, bless you. Yeah. Oh, fabulous. Yeah. Thank you.
And her husband was thrilled that I came because I cooked and I did the laundry and I helped her, and he was free as a bird, you know, while I was there. But it didn't go that way with this other daughter and her husband. They perceived it differently as a couple. He perceived it differently. Michael was happy to just disappear for the week that I was there, because he knew his turn was coming. Yeah. But this other husband of my daughter didn't want to disappear. He wanted to be very involved, and all of my actions and my comments were viewed suspiciously. And again, he didn't know me, didn't have a relationship. So my point is that when you reach my season of life, for those of you who aren't there yet, one of the most important lessons that I've learned is that it's really hard to stop helping. And you have to ask permission to help. May I offer a suggestion? And hopefully your kids will feel comfortable enough to say, not so much. but asking permission opens that door if they say yes. But it's hard to even ask permission, for heaven's sake. This is my child. I've been talking to her whole life. I've been giving her lists, telling her how to do things for 20-some-odd years. And so to all of a sudden switch and ask permission, or to not just offer it, is really difficult to do. And so it creates conflict. And it's an intentionally created conflict. I never intended to hurt any of my kids with any of the things that I've offered by way of suggestion or advice or whatever. My motive really and truly was to help because I loved them. And yet, as they're breaking away and making their own identity, it wasn't always an easy relationship to navigate. So, on your side of the thing, on Ashley's side, the answer is give some grace. But on the mom's side, it's really learn to ask permission and to allow them to break away and not want your help. And that's pretty tough sometimes, to not want to not be wanted, or to have your help not wanted. That was really hard for me, because so much of my identity as a woman was wrapped up in being a mom. And then to have that rejected or not wanted was a pretty difficult experience to go through. So that's the first thing. And then the second one is a little bit simpler. But again, I think it's natural for us as moms to talk about our kids, Dana stood up there and talked about her kids, right? Mm-hmm. To 300 women. She's talking about her kids. She's talking about her son, and she's talking about her daughters. I do that too. And even if you're not up in front of 300 people, what do you do when you sit down at meals? Tell me about your kids. Oh, my son. Oh, my daughter. She did this, she did that. And we talk about our kids, right? All the time we talk about our kids. We tell stories about our kids. You won't believe what mine did. And we tell the story of what your child did.
I have lots of those, by the way.
Oh, you do? Yeah, like the time her 2-year old, her second one, her 2-year old, was supposed to be taking a nap.
Oh, he was older than that, Mom.
No, but he found him on top of the refrigerator.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. I felt your thing. This is the same child.
Well, same child.
This is the same child that probably when he was 4 or 5 and we had another little one and I was homeschooling and I was taking a nap and I found out later that someone drove by our 2-story house and he was out on the roof sitting watching the traffic and they got out of their car and said, you need to get down probably and go inside. Well, he climbed out the bathroom window and walked over the top of the house. And so then she said, I just thought you'd like to know that your child was on the roof of your home. And I mean, it's a tall 2-story, right? Like it's built up and then it's 2 stories. So I just sat down with this child and I said, look, was that so fun? And he's like, it was awesome. I'm like, okay, cool. That was really fabulous. You didn't know, but like, that's just not a good idea. So don't do that again. And that's about how it went. I was like, look, because if you fell down and broke your arm and the house is locked and you can't get in and I'm taking a nap, I'm not going to know, bud. So that would be really bad for you.
He's like, she's okay. A better mom than I was.
So, anyway, they're older now, and now they get the ladder and they actually go up and they play on our roof. They have sword fights and I allow them to do this, but they're older. So it's just the older kids. But anyway, but I have lots of stories about, and we haven't had any broken bones. Yes, not a single broken bone in all my children. So, they all have angels. They all have angels, special angels that watch over them because I cannot be everywhere at one time. So anyway, the point is that when they're little, we love to tell those stories because they're funny and they're cute and they're adorable and sometimes they're not
or
so
scary.
Cute and adorable. Sometimes they're scary. But we have these great stories we love to tell as moms. And again, when they become an adult, we see our kids do something fun or they tell us a story and we as moms, we want to tell this great story about what our daughter and her husband did and their kids. And then I realized it's not my story.
Oh.
It's her story. I'm going, oh, well, that was a mistake. That was an oops. But again, we're used to telling stories all the time, and it's hard to cut that off when they become an adult and they're their own person. So that's a little bit of an extension of the first one. But again, as moms, it's really hard to know kind of where that line is between what is okay to say and what isn't okay. And the bottom line is the best thing to do is to ask permission. Can I tell that story? Which I've done. And Dennis and I made that a practice when we were raising our kids to clear things that we told publicly up front. But there are a lot of chit-chat stories that go on amongst moms, and you have to be careful what you share because your kids can find out, and they might not like it so much that you told their story about them to somebody else without their permission. So.
Okay, so now let's talk about the in-laws, because that's really probably mostly what we want to talk about, is what do we do with our in-laws once we get them, because that's a whole other set of issues that you're bringing to your already dysfunctional family and already your issues as a family.
And we're just operating under the assumption that all of us have dysfunctional families.
Okay, right? I'm saying, I'm a Rainy, right? We have a dysfunctional family, yes, and we're broken, so I assume that would include all of us, so...
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm not hurting anybody's feelings. If you have a functional, awesome family, we would like to talk to you. Because we're always gathering tips because we need them. So yeah, let us know if you have some advice also. That would be great. So like I said, I was the first to get married, and I went into it thinking, okay, my in-laws are going to be my parents, just like my parents are my parents, and I'm going to love them all the way, and it's going to be the same. And now I get... two families, or actually in this case I get three families since my husband's parents are divorced. So I thought it's just going to be like even more fun because that's just more people. How awesome is that? So as y'all can all tell, totally naive, completely star in the sky.
As
you know,
we all were, correct?
Yes, starting out. So we get married and we are living in Memphis, Tennessee, which is where my husband grew up. His mom and stepdad live there, and he's starting medical school there, and he's been living there at his parents' house for the last year. So he's very immersed with his family, And I move in, and he goes off to school, but his family is there. So my mother-in-law, love her, she's so wonderful, called me every day, or called our home every day for the first 2 weeks of our marriage. And I was about to have a heart attack, because I'm like, can you please leave us alone? Oh my goodness. And for to her credit, everything she was calling about was legitimate stuff. It was somebody else dropped off a wedding gift at our house, your car, we dropped it off at the shop before y'all got married and it's done now, or I need to, it really did not feel meddly to me necessarily. How was your first day in medical school? I'm really excited. How was this? She was just checking on her son, checking on us, giving us information. But for me as a young mom, it felt very intrusive, and I was feeling very insecure. We lived there for 4 years, and so I started trying to find in-law books, because I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, and we have got to have some help. Okay, well, there's not much out there. So then I decided I should just write one, because I had a lot of information, and I had a lot of material, so maybe I could just make one up, and that never happened. I wish I could find some of my research. Mom and I talked about that. And then we had our first son 2 years after we got married. And my precious mother-in-law came over and said, my baby! And I'm like,
oh, no.
I'm like, oh my gosh, stop. I call my mom, I'm like, she thinks this is her child. Oh my gosh, he came out of my body, he's mine. Waited my whole life to be a mom, this is not your child. And she kept calling him my baby. And that was just her term of endearment for my son. But I tell y'all what, I was not feeling endured or loved by her comments. And she was in our home, and they wanted to have us over for Sunday lunch every Sunday, and they would stop by because we were close to her work. And aww. I'm telling y'all, I was like, oh my goodness. But she was just operating under the way that she's always done it. And she was just treating her son and our family the way they've always done it, which is not really that bad. And they're very welcoming as a family, and they just do so many wonderful things. And I feel like for my relationship with my mother-in-law, I really feel like the Lord taught me about giving grace and about loving and seeing the heart behind what was happening. And so I had to really offer her grace and realize that she really wasn't trying to claim my son as her own. They were raising their granddaughter in their family, and so this was their second grandchild, and I'm sure they kind of felt like he was theirs, but as we had 3 and 4, she couldn't really, I don't think she really wanted them either, you know. So that was good. So it kind of lessened some, and I think she realized that we could survive as a family unit, and we could make it as a family. And not that we didn't need her, but that it looked a little bit different, I think, than she went into it looking. And I have to say now, I mean, I just kept trying to give grace and bless my mom. She kept speaking to me, it's okay, just give her grace, just keep moving. I know she doesn't mean it ill towards you, which was really good. And now I tell her all the time, I'm like, I want to be a mother-in-law like you one day. She is my model, because anytime we call, we're like, can you come watch the kids? And she's like, I would love to take a whole week off of work and come and take care of all your kids, and y'all just go off and do your thing and have a fun time. And I know that she's going to just do a great job, and she gets in the floor, and she's like, y'all want to play football? Let's go outside and have some football. Or, I mean, she's like a kid at heart. She just plays with my children, and she's like, oh, y'all want to have McDonald's for the third time today? Let's get in the car and go to McDonald's again. And so there's so many things about her that initially I was like, oh, McDonald's 3 times a day? That's so unhealthy. We never ate out hardly at all. Or we'd be like, drink water and have a 99-cent cheeseburger because it was too expensive.
Yep.
You know, and so for me, you know, fast food wasn't really, I mean, we ate it. But for her, it's about let's just do whatever's easy and whatever's fun. And she's just great at that. So there's a lot of qualities and things about her that I've learned to appreciate and admire. And there's still things that she does. She lets my kids just watch TV whenever they want, as much as they want. Not so much what I want for them. But you know what? For a weekend, it's not going to hurt them. They'll be okay. When I get back, we can start back again to what I feel like is important. So there's been a lot of learning curve there too. But I just want to encourage you to just give your mother-in-law's grace, just like my mom. She didn't know what she was doing either. I was the first in-law. And mom's learned a lot about that too. But just give your mother-in-law's grace. If you can have a relationship with them where you're open and you can share things, I encourage you to do that. Be gentle and sensitive, because you have married her son. You've married her baby. And so my mother-in-law now calls every Sunday night, and I try to always let my husband answer the phone to talk to his mom. Because you know what? Someday I hope my daughter-in-laws will let me talk to my boys and love on them, because they're my boys. I don't have any girls that are going to want to come home, you know? Not that the Lord's going to do it because I've done it for my husband, but it's something I've learned to foster that relationship between he and his mom. He's going to turn 40 this year. She's going to take him to a roller coaster park, the two of them, for a whole weekend. And I'm like, y'all go. First of all, I am not a roller coaster girl, so I'll be like, y'all have a fun time. But I want them to go as a mother and a son and have these experiences together, because she still is mom. Even though I'm his wife, she still is mommy. And so I need to respect that and honor that as much as I can. And then my stepmother and his dad, which I haven't talked about very much, but that's a different relationship. I don't think that they know the Lord. And so early in our marriage, when we had more time, I really tried to foster that relationship. We visited them a couple times a year. My mother-in-law, who's was probably 65 at the time, we were visiting near her birthday, and I made her a birthday cake. She's English. She has a cool accent. I love listening to her talk. Red hair. She's so cute. But I walk in there with this birthday cake, and she goes, oh, this is my first birthday cake I've ever had in my whole life. Wow. I couldn't believe it. I was like, what? I've never had a birthday cake at 60 years old. And so we loved on them. And then our lives got busy and crazy, and they don't visit very much. And now we can go 2 years without seeing them, which is sad to me. But our relationship with them looks different, because we just want to be a light to them and love them. Mm-hmm. But they aren't as interested in being with us, and that's okay. And I just want to encourage you, too, that if your mom or your in-laws are not just super interested, you just don't have to kill yourself to make it work. Love when the opportunity is there. Give grace when the opportunity is there. Listen to the Lord's leading. But don't necessarily think, oh, I have to have that relationship with all of my family, all of my extended family, all of my in-laws. It may not be, and you've got to... You can spread yourself out a little bit everywhere, or you can really invest here and not ignore this other part, but just do it as the Lord brings it. So that's how we've approached my mother-in-law and my husband's father, is we have tried to honor them and respect them and love them as we come in contact with them, which is more infrequent now than it used to be. But we tried to lay some good groundwork early on, and I feel like we did some of that. So,
which illustrates what I was going to say next, and that she's got two completely different kinds of relationships with both of those sets of in-laws. Mm-hmm. One's much closer, the other one's much more distant. And that's a good illustration for the way your relationship as a mother, whether you have married kids now or you will someday, is going to be with your married kids. Because my relationship with all five of my kids who are married is somewhat different. Mm-hmm. I have a different relationship with Ashley and her husband and her kids than I do with our son and his wife and their kids, with my next son and his wife and their kids. Because, first of all, they're all very different people, right? Your kids are all different, aren't they?
Right.
None of them are just alike. They're going to marry somebody who is different, somebody that you don't know. Now, you may have known them for a year or two, but you really don't know that person very well, right? And they're going to have their own kids, and they're going to want to raise them the way the two of them agree that they want to raise them. And it's probably going to be different than what you did. There may be some similarities, but more than likely, to kind of forge their own path, they're going to do some things that mom and dad didn't do, both moms and dads didn't do, or the multiple moms and dads didn't do. They're going to change the formula slightly. It's a part of growing up. And there's a lot of growing up to do after you get married, right? We all did it.
And even more after you have children.
Yeah, and so it just continues, and that's just a part of the equation. So I just wanted to kind of say that as a groundwork, that my relationship with Ashley and Michael is very different than my relationship with my other kids and their spouses, because they're all very different people. But one of the things that I've learned about the whole in-law thing from my vantage point as the mother-in-law is that I had this really naive notion, just as Ashley had a naive assumption, that she was going to automatically love her mother-in-law and they were going to automatically have a great relationship. I thought the same thing. I thought, I can't wait to welcome these kids into the family. We've prayed for them since they were little.
And when they decided to get married and the engagement was official and we're into wedding planning and all of that, it was exciting and it was fun, and I loved meeting those extended families, and the whole throw the door open and welcome everybody in was, it was just full blast because of the wedding and all of that. And I loved it. And so I made the assumption that this is going to be the way it's going to be. They're going to love being around us because they know we love them. They're going to be so secure in the fact that we love them as much as we love our own kids, that everything's going to be great.
We're just going to have 12 children instead of six.
Right?
But it's going to be the same.
Yeah. No, I really thought that it was going to... And now I look back on it now, and I think a lot of that was naive. And a lot of it was probably just plain old pride that we were going to be this great family, and all of these kids who married in were going to go, yeah, we can't wait to be a part of this family. Well, that isn't necessarily the case. And so all of those relationships have had a different, and still have, a different flavor. And what I realized in the process of that is that I have a lot of history with my kids, right? Mm-hmm. I've known them their whole lives. I've known them since birth. But these other kids who married my kids, I've only known them a short time. How can I expect to have a really deep, fulfilling, satisfying relationship with them when I've only known them a very short time? And when I'm not even around them that much. It's not like they're moving into my house and I'm going to be with them 24/7 so I can get to know them. My interactions with her husband, Michael, what'd you say?
She said, thank goodness.
Yeah,
and I'm saying amen to that.
Yeah, I know.
I love my parents. I still would never want to move back home.
No, I know. I want them to either.
How's that?
That sounds great to me. Good. But the time that I have to spend with Ashley's husband, Michael, is very limited, and it's usually with her. The time that I spend with my two daughters-in-law is usually very limited, and it's when we're all visiting together. It's usually a communal group kind of a relationship. It's not often that I get my daughters-in-law by themselves. It's not often that I am with the sons-in-law themselves either. So even the fact that I haven't known